Bring you to it.
Uh-oh. Better be careful. Okay. Wow, thank you so much. we don't get back to the States very often. We're going to be here for 10 weeks. It's the longest we've ever actually been in the States by a little bit. Last time we were here for 2 months was in 2006. So we think the last time we were here was 5 years ago. Now, Judy and I go way back when Marcus and Gwen were like Wheaton students, coming and visiting the church that we were part of in the uptown neighborhood of Chicago, and you maybe have heard some stories about that. Of course, we met Margie and Scott there and had just a real privilege, met Beth. Beth was just born. Yeah, at that time. So, yeah, we're celebrating 35 years, June 27th. So, you know, time goes on. It's kind of weird. Yeah, so anyway, thank you so much for inviting us to be here. And I just want to share, we've been on an amazing road. Judy and I are normal people in a way, you know, as much as anybody is, meaning that we're not special, we're not spiritual giants, and we did what we've done, you know, selling everything and moving to Asia because we thought God made us do it, you know, God was calling, and he's confirmed that in all kinds of ways. But, you know, you go and you deal with whatever God puts your way. I saw an article recently that's so true. It said one lie, or there was some lies that Christians believe, and one of them was God doesn't give you more than you can bear. It's like, no, God does give you more than you can bear because he wants you to know how he can bear it, right? Yeah, it's all about that. So we learned that in a lot of ways, and so many stories that we can tell. For those of you that may not be familiar, we moved to Thailand in 2004 with a vision to work specifically with women in the sex trade, a very large, very well-known, of course, trade that's not only caters to tourism of all nationalities, but in the Thai culture. It's just a very, very broken culture. And so we started and had a goal. We named the ministry The Well, okay, because to our surprise, I had gone to Trinity. What I knew about Buddhism, and Thailand is a 95% Buddhist country with a little bit of Islam and a tiny bit of Christianity. What I had learned about Buddhism, it's a resistant culture. And so we did not expect people to come to the Lord quickly. What we found, however, is that when we would go out, Judy and I would go to these red light areas where women were mostly working, waiting for Western people. So we didn't stand out. They were expecting us. And we would just start meeting. We'd pray and meet whomever God, you know, kind of put in our path. And within a short time, we had women who wanted to quit the bars, and more than that, you know, little by little, it's, you know, we just kind of love them, and where are you from, and you got pictures of your kids, because everybody had kids, they're supporting, and do you like it here, oh no, oh I'm sorry, what's your dream, and so forth, you know, and kind of conversations that a normal customer wouldn't ask, and then We're here because we love Jesus. Do you know anything about Jesus? Something about the cross. And when we moved there, there was a little campaign, a big campaign, actually. And so people heard, but just about that. And so we had women who wanted to quit. And so, you know, we took some into our home and so on. And we started this vision, this picture of the web. Okay, out of John 4, where it's an interesting story. It's a fascinating story. Okay, it starts out where the Pharisees are getting on to Jesus. You know, he's getting busy, he's getting noisy. okay, baptizing people, he says, and so forth. And so it says he had to duck out of town. And he went into Samaria, okay? And, of course, if you study the geography and the culture, you learn all this. You know that the normal route up to the north was across the other side of the Jordan on the east side. But he went into Samaria. And you get the picture. It's to get out of sight, okay? And so here it is, noontime. And this, you know, and he's tired and he's discouraged, okay? What's going, you know, I mean, yeah. He's just following the Father. He's following the Father. And you read John, you see over and over how Jesus emphasized, I'm following the Father, I'm following the Father. Okay? And so he's too tired to go into town with the other guys to get burgers. And so he's waiting, and this woman shows up, and she's bright. Okay? She's inquisitive. She's got a fun personality. And the Holy Spirit prompts him to have this conversation, right? You know? And she's awesome. And it ends up, right? The disciples come back, and he's talking to this woman. They got food, and he's not hungry. I think it's because he was jazzed. All right? And then they got all these people showing up. Okay, from the town and so forth. And like, did we miss something? Okay. Well, and so we started this ministry out of that idea. Okay, we just felt God just put it in our laps that He was going to reach broken women. Okay, and through them reach villages, reach a culture, and transform it. Okay, so we moved there with that. Now, what we did not yet fully understand, and what I'm going to share about today, and Judy's going to pitch in some too, is something that affects all of us, because we want what we share to bless you. Okay? We've learned amazing lessons, wonderful lessons about how God works, okay? Things that I did not fully understand, even back in the days of Uptown, okay, and working with broken people there. Because what we encountered after these women, they wanted to know Jesus, okay, and they really did, okay, but they couldn't grow, okay. We spent our first few years just wheel spinning. It's wheel spinning because their lives, we're talking a culture where 75 to 90% of children, at least girls in the lower class, experience sexual and or physical abuse. So you've got some stuff going on internally. You've got family structures that are a mess. Okay? You've got school systems that aren't helping. You've got addictions, of course, because of all this running rampant. A taxi driver, Judy talked to a taxi driver one time. They got talking about sports and what do Americans like and what the Thais like. And he says, the national sport of Thailand is drinking. Okay? And so all this brokenness, and we saw people, they would fall in love with Jesus, and then they'd fall apart. And in 2007... I said to Judy, it's not working. And I said to God, where's the power? And we cried and prayed. What is this? Okay? I'm going to show a couple of... Actually, Tim, I'm going to change the order here. Let's go with Dow. Okay? I think we probably showed a video of Dow before. And have we tested this? Is it going to work? Yeah. Yeah, so you can hear Dow's story to get a picture of the kind of stuff that goes on in a crazy, broken culture that we had to deal with. there's no sound, you can just read it.
And get a signal. Do you have the volume up on there? Mm-hmm.
ไม่เคยอยู่ค่ะทุกครั้งที่ทำแม่กับพ่อต้องมาแล้วตื่นแล้วก็ป่วยแต่แม่เราก็จะแบบไปเที่ยวกลางคืนมีเพื่อนไปเที่ยวแบบเทคผับเพราะว่าตอนกลางคืนเราตื่นนอนขึ้นมาเราจะไม่เจอแม่แล้วทุกครั้งก็เหมือนพ่อแม่มาแม่ก็จะบอกเราว่าอย่าบอกพ่อถ้าพ่อรู้พ่อจะทำร้ายแม่ครั้งล่าสุดนะคะก็คือพ่อเนี่ยได้ข่าวจากคนอื่นแม่เนี่ยแอบเที่ยวกลางคืน แล้ววันนั้นคือพ่อค่ะเอาเรื่องจอดไฟฟ้าช็อตแม่แล้วแม่ก็เป็นลมไปพอเรากลัวแม่ตายแม่มีแฟนใหม่แล้วแม่ก็ทิ้งพวกเราซื้อของแม่ฆ่าพ่อตายแล้วก็ญาติพี่น้องของพ่อก็มาว่าเหมือนว่าลูกมีคำหยาบคายต่างๆแล้วเขาจะเหมือนเข้ามาทำร้ายเราด้วย คือดาวแค่ฟังว่าพ่อเสียแล้วเราก็แย่แล้วค่ะความรู้สึกดาวก็เข้าโรงพยาบาลเพราะเรารู้สึกกดดันเพราะตอนนั้นเหมือนดาวเป็นเด็ก14เป็น5 ปีแล้วดาวรับไม่ไหวญาติอะไรเงี้ยมาด่าเราก็ไม่เข้าใจความรู้สึกของเขาแต่ดาวเป็นเด็กดาวไม่รู้เรื่องเขาคิดว่าเป็นพ่อแม่ของดาวทำพ่อแม่หลบตอนนั้นตามแม่ไม่เจอแม่หลบคดีดาวอยู่บ้านกับน้องตามมัน เขาส่งใหญ่คนจะกลัวเรื่องศพที่แบบถูกยิงตายไปอะไรเงี้ยพี่ชายที่เป็นคนแรกก็เริ่มเข้ามาพัวพันในบ้านมากขึ้นเพราะว่าไม่มีเพื่อนเราก็เริ่มคนเห็นไม่สามารถบอกใครได้เพราะความรู้สึกกดดันเราน่าจะท้องได้4 เดือนกว่าแม่ก็เห็นว่าดาวแบบ ตัวใหญ่คือรู้เรื่องของดาวกับพี่ชายเขาเข้ามาในห้องมีเด็กทั้งหมด50 กว่าคนแต่เขาก็พูดว่าในวิชานี้พี่น้องอ่ะไม่สามารถแต่งงานด้วยกันได้เพราะว่ามันเราก็รู้สึกอับอายเราก็ตัดสินใจที่เราจะออกไม่เรียนต่อแม่ของยอดเมียแรกพ่อไปติดต่อกับแม่เพื่อที่จะเอาเงินกับแม่ดาวที่จะไปทำแท้ง ไปทำแท้งเราก็รู้สึกร้องไห้แล้วก็เสียใจว่าเด็กเขาเหมือนไม่รู้อะไรเรื่องด้วยอย่างเงี้ยดาวไปทำแท้งเนี่ยค่ะยาก็มาจากไหนมันก็ตีเราก็ใช้คำหยาบคายเพราะเราก็ไม่มีแรงเพราะว่าดาวไปทำแท้งมาแล้วยอดก็มาจากไหนไม่รู้ก็มายิงปืนขึ้นฟ้าแล้วก็มาจับมือดาวให้ลุงแล้วก็ผลักให้เราเดินต่อ ญาติเขาก็ไปแจ้งความเอาคดีพยายามฆ่าพวกผู้ใหญ่ก็เลยติดต่อไม่ได้เป็นคนติดต่อให้เราไปที่เกาะช้างเราก็ไปอยู่ในยอดค่ะแล้วต้องอยู่กับเขาอีกที่เกาะช้างหนึ่งเดือนเป็นช่วงเวลาตั้งท้องต่อเลยเรารู้สึกว่าดาวไม่อยากเป็นแบบแม่ไม่อยากเป็นผู้หญิงหลายใจไม่อยากทรยศแล้วก็อดทนอยู่เขาไม่ปฏิเสธดาว
เขามีคนอื่นตกเป็นดาวทำลายร่างกายเกิดทุกข์ทรมานผู้หญิงมีผู้หญิงดาวมีลูกกับพี่ชาย3 คนเรื่องกับยอดดาวจบเพราะว่าดาวตามมาตามมาดูเลยคือทุกครั้งดาวได้แต่พูดครั้งนี้ดาวเห็นจริงๆว่าเขาอยู่กับผู้หญิงอีกคนแล้วก็ดาวตัดสินใจออกมากับเขาเลยจากเขาเลยไม่อยู่กับแม่ช่วงที่ดาวมาอยู่กับแม่ดาวเจอพี่เปี๊ยก แล้วเราก็หลักกันแต่แม่ก็ไม่ค่อยเห็นด้วยเพราะแม่อยากให้เราคืนยอดคือตอนช่วงที่เราอยู่กับเปี๊ยกอะแม่ก็เคยไปติดต่อกับร้านคาราโอเกะจะส่งเราไปที่มาเลเซียเหมือนขายเราด้วยเราทำงานที่นู่นแต่ยังไปไม่ถึงค่ะดาวหนีกลับมาตอนนั้นดาวก็เริ่มตั้งท้องด้วยเขาเป็นคนที่แบบเงียบค่ะแต่เขาเป็นคนที่แบบทำใช้การกระทำทำเลยเราอยู่ด้วยกันแค่ 2 ปีเรามีโปรเช่ได้7 เดือนเขาก็เสียชีวิตค่ะการทำงานหัวใจล้มเหลวเขานอนตายเฉยๆช่วงนั้นน้องสาวถูกจับอยู่ในเรือนจำเหมือนดาวมีความกดดันทุกอย่างเลยต้องดูแลหลานดูแลลูกควบคู่กัน 5 คนคือต้องรับผิดชอบทุกอย่าง เราก็ต้องเลิกก้าวทำงานก็ไปทำที่โรงงานพลาสติกได้เงินน้อยมากแล้วก็มีคนแนะนำให้มาที่คาร์บอนเพื่อที่จะได้เงินเยอะแล้วก็เริ่มก้าวไปที่ซอยคาร์บอนเพื่อที่จะหาเงินสิ่งทุกอย่างในชีวิตเลวร้ายใช่ไหมแต่เราขอบคุณพระเจ้าที่ได้เจอพระองค์ให้โอกาสเห็นความอับอายเห็นความน่ารังเกียจสิ่งที่ตัวเองทำแล้วก็จะรู้ว่าพระเจ้าเป็นความรักแล้วก็มาให้อภัยให้ดาวให้อภัยตัวเองแล้วรู้ว่าไม่มีการเวรกรรมใครทำสิ่งอะไรต้องรับสิ่งนั้นแต่ในพระเยซูเมื่อพระเยซูมาพระเยซูตัดคำแช่งสาปไม่มีเวรกรรมพระองค์ให้อภัยและเราก็ยืนพร้อมที่จะเป็นคำพยานชีวิตที่พระองค์เปลี่ยนจากข้างใน
But it took a while. Okay. Now, we started our organization, Servant Works, okay, our parent organization of state, with one key value, do everything like Jesus. Okay. And so we started as we living in Asia in a different context and reading scripture and picking apart just how Jesus did things. The more and more, and it's really started the progression back from before we moved, but just more and more seeing, wait a second, you know, we've got this idea that Jesus didn't do himself. He took 3 years, full time, nonstop, okay, with a small group of people, intentionally small, okay. We started out, we had funding because the exchange rate was good, we were new, trafficking was the thing, and we were pulling in women left and right, okay? And we had 20, 30 women that were out of the bars, and they were, and Dow was one of them. We met her in November of 2004, and she was a pitiful, helpless thing with 4 kids and a niece that she was taking care of, the niece that was in jail. I mean, the sister was in jail. And couldn't do anything. She would look at me with these sad eyes, and they called me teacher for a while, and professor, kind of a formal title. I said, I don't like that. And so we ended up being mom and dad. And so she said, Dad, are you tired of me? You know, she would say it like that. Just, you know, oh, of course not. I'm not tired of you. But this is a broken, traumatized young woman, right? 24, 25 years old at the time. So finally, in 2007... After just struggling, she left her 4 kids and her niece and ran. And her drug-addicted mother, the one who, you know, she mentioned in the video, had to come and pick up the kids. And that was part of the scenario. We were having people having drug parties in our property and all kinds of stuff. It was like, hurt people hurt, you know? So anyway, Dow came from that, you know. And my first question, again, was, where's the power? God's first answer was, this is the cross. Okay? 3 years into this ministry, pouring into these guys, what did Jesus get? I don't know him! What? You know? Okay? 3 years. The best teacher doing miracles and, oh man, pouring it out. And then, oh, okay? Okay, so that was the first answer. And then being on the cross, and we're going to read from 1 John in a little bit. And you have John just sharing this experience many years later, you know, distilling the things that he remembers that he really wants us to get. You know, and what John emphasizes is how warm and compassionate and loving he was with those guys. He just loved those guys, you know. and what they do, you know. Okay, so this is the cross. Okay, but the second thing, wait and let God work. Okay. 1 John, if you would,
in chapter 1. You can imagine what happened as John, you know, first there's this guy shows up and he's different, he's unusual. You got John the Baptist telling what an, you know, he's like special, he's Messiah or whatever without using that word. You've got you know, this kind of building idea that this is amazing, okay? But you can imagine it really didn't sink in, okay, until after, okay, the resurrection definitely, you know, and it's like, okay, and of course, the wonderful close of John in chapter 21 of, you know, reconciling with Peter, and, you know, and John closes it out with, you know, you couldn't put what Jesus had done and said into all the books that the world could ever write, you know. So he's got these memories that are, you know, he realizes what a privilege he's had. And so he writes this letter, okay, says, you know, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, this is new living. God is light, there's no darkness in him. Let me back up. He's got this first section of intro. We heard him, we saw him, we touched him, we felt, okay? The word of life, Messiah, God in the flesh. Wow, we hung out, okay? And then, of course, he kind of modestly doesn't use his name when he writes the gospel down, right? He just says the apostle Jesus loved. But I doubt if he means that he loved him more than anybody else, you know? It's just being modest, okay? Who am I? And Jesus loves me, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but, all right, I'm Jesus' good friend. And so when Jesus is good friend, you know, what I'm going to read right now, verse 5, he's distilling, he says, this is it. This is the message. This is what it's all about, guys. This is what Christianity is, okay? God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? Now, relationship. Okay? You keep reading. You read through John, read through 1 John, read through 2 John, read through 3 John. You see what John is bent on. Love, love, love. 2 John, he writes this short letter. Guys, I'm in a hurry. I don't have time. I hear you guys are in the truth. You know, the truth is awesome. It's great when we're walking in the truth, isn't it? Man, I got this one thing to remind you. Love each other. Gotta go. Okay? We had to learn this. Okay? Love takes time. Okay? Love is messy. Love is not love unless it's messy. Right? When you know where who your friends are. When things get ugly. You know? Right? What is the context? What is the whole message of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation? The first sin. What they did wasn't anything particularly morally wrong, was it? They broke the relationship. Okay? Everything's about relationship and how much God wants and wants and wants to have relationship. And unless we spend the time, you know, in the dirt, in the dust, in the difficult things, we don't understand relationship. You know, and that's what Jesus did, and we've had to learn to do that. Okay, what happened now called after a few months after she ran away, and she brought a guy, Right? And the second time that she brought him, that guy was a follower of Jesus, became a follower of Jesus. Okay? Slowly but surely, okay, looking back now, they came back. She came back, took her kids back, began growing, began more steady, began healing from all her trauma, made her very angry, very afraid of men, very lots of different symptoms, and they were married 2 years ago. You can show the staff intro. This is where we are now, okay? And I'll kind of pull that together after.
2ค่ะอยู่แผนกฝ่ายการศึกษาตอนนี้เรียนปริญญาโทอยู่ที่พระธรรมกรุงเทพฯค่ะสวัสดีครับชื่อสอนครับแผนกการศึกษาสอนพระคัมภีร์ปัจจุบันนี้เรียนอยู่พระธรรมกรุงเทพฯ
My name is Kylie. I'm from New Zealand, and I'm working at the Well as a nurse, just helping out with health education and anything that the girls need. ฝึกฝนค่ะแล้วก็สอนมารยาทสอนการฟังสอนการเติบโตสอนทุกอย่างค่ะชื่อฟรานทำงานในฝ่ายส่งเสริมอาชีพเกี่ยวกับการทำธุรกิจค่ะ
ทำงานที่ The Well ทำหน้าที่ให้คำปรึกษาค่ะ
ชื่อดาวอยู่มา 11 ปีทำหน้าที่เกี่ยวกับเจ้าหน้าที่ฝ่ายการเงินและงานประกัน
ชื่อป๊อปเป็นความเป็นของดาวดูแลทุกฝ่ายที่ ภรรยาทำงานอยู่ที่นี่สำหรับสร้างสาวกในชุมชนแล้วก็ในกลุ่มของป่าน้ำที่จะเป็นพ่อที่ดีเป็นผู้ชายที่เข้มแข็งเป็นสาวกของพระเยซูคริสต์
That's just a few, okay. Been kind of fun, my boy. Okay, we have now a dozen, more than a dozen, okay, who are in that high leadership level. Okay, and this is the first time. One of the reasons we've been unable to come back to the States much is because we just needed to be there to care for things. This is the first time that the Well has no expats in charge of things. All our Thai leaders that have come to Jesus that we've discipled and so forth. And so that's, you know, again, it's been a blessing. More is on the way. It's like we're at the threshold of kind of that growth, that transformation starting to move, you know, that we envisioned. It just took, again, a few years longer to get started than we expected. But I want to just wrap it up here with, sorry, Judy, I took all the time. With verse 7, okay? If we walk in the light, okay, as he himself is in the light. Okay? And what we discovered we needed to do, okay, was focus on just living life with folks. You know, I used to say to people, you know, they have a relapse. Now, this is back when I was in Aurora. I remember this. I learned it from Tim Larkin. Okay. They'd have a relapse. Well, if you've been to a meeting, what did I just do? I just pointed out that they did wrong. And you know what I learned? The Holy Spirit takes care of all that. I don't need to help. So now when our women relapse, you know what I say? I'm so glad you told me. You're awesome. You know? Man, you okay? Yeah. So stuff like that. We just learn to do stuff like that. Relax, okay? With the whole people gotta change, you know? Like, no. Everybody hurts, okay? Everybody's screwed up. It's okay. It's not about that part. It's about getting into the light. We've got a new endeavor where we're, you know, we've got lots of long stories we could tell, but one of our new things to really start doing church in a way we think will address the needs of the lower class and so on is a coffee shop. It's church kind of without services and that, and it's a long story why. It has to do with the culture. And all relational. All relational. The name of it's Connect. Okay? Because that's what this is about. That's what we learned. God just wants to connect. Okay? And he'll take the time and work in all these different ways to connect with us. Okay? And obviously, it's about connecting with each other. And when we connect in truth, in love, in truth and love, in truth and love, fun things happen. You know? You know one principle? This comes out of psychology that some woman taught us about trauma recovery and that. People heal when they're safe. And that's what this is. You know, man, I was just listening on just before I came back, the song Take Me to Church. Okay, what's that about? What so many people have been through, right? Getting hurt by church people? Right? Because we think we gotta help. You know, we think we gotta help point out sin in people. What? And that's not to say you don't speak truth and you don't point it out. You know? But obviously, it's often done without setting up that platform, without being in the light together, okay? When we walk in the light, you know, and engage and just hang out and, you know, I'm screwed up. You want to see? obviously, what does John say, you know? Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, but you get in the Son, and you're free. You know? And we started developing that as our culture, as our way of thinking, way of life, and teaching our disciplees, you know, kind of to think that way. And this is kind of the stuff that started to happen. Okay? Just one final thought on that. There's an interesting order of these two phrases. We have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Your typical evangelical, what I learned at Trinity was you flip those. First get your sins clean, get baptized, and then you can have fellowship. You know? But we started learning, because people are coming out of the... You know, we had Sa, strong Buddhist, okay? Proud Buddhist, you know, suicidal, and crisis, yeah, lots of crisis in her life. We just loved her. And then she starts talking about seeing visions.
And she saw Jesus on the cross, and she described it in great historic detail. I said, have you seen The Passion? No. Just last couple weeks ago, well, Dow started telling me about this girl who was working at the Nana Plaza red light area. And she just really was really worried about a 20-year-old with a 9-month-old baby and pregnant 3 months. And she, you know, wanted to bring her to the well. So she did, and I met her, and man, she's rough around the edges. And I said, well, I want to help her, but she's going to take some time, you know. But she had a boyfriend she brought, and he was very engaging, kind of, you know, bright personality. Well, Dow and Fox started reaching into their lives. So they prayed for work. They didn't have any work. And they said, we've been getting turned down everywhere. Well, everywhere. Okay, so they prayed, and the next place they went, hired them and gave them help. So then last Sunday, okay, we did our little thing at the coffee shop and some small groups, and then Dow tells me, or Fox tells me on the way down, they just prayed to receive Christ. All right. So then in the little larger meeting, the girl says, yeah, I had this dream Monday night. There was a man. He had this white outfit on. I didn't know who he was. It was a weird outfit. And there was this pole, and it had a cross beam across the top. She didn't know what a cross was. I asked Dow who that was. Dow says, that's Jesus. Okay? That's some of the stuff we've learned. Okay? Slow down. Just remember how beautiful you are. Okay? How beautiful you are, you know? And start sitting down in the light, looking at Scripture together, just letting it speak to us, okay? Transformation happens. Yeah. And we sort of notice that at an average of 3 years, okay, of good, solid walking, some of those real breakthrough transformations start to happen. Isn't that an interesting number, 3 years?
Yeah.
It's funny, I thought of that and like, wait a second. Okay? So anyway, that's a bit in a nutshell, and I pray that this kind of paradigm blesses you. I'm hoping to get some time to kind of write about it some more, and it's not earth-shattering or revolutionary, but it's been fun for us to learn, and God's been good. I want to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this lovely body. Thank you for Marcus and Gwen, Margie and Scott, that we've known and loved so many years. So glad to see this good thing in the spirit here of what you're doing and reaching into youth. And pray, Lord, for this kind of body to happen. Group of people walking in love and truth. Love and truth. Love and truth. Not, you know, the two-leg kind of thing. Not getting one ahead of the other. We pray for your leading, your patient guiding, and we know that that is your heart. It's just easy to see that's what you're doing here. Lord, would you bless them in that. Thank you.
Amen.